So I am excited today, even though you may not be here to tell it, but I am excited as I lean on the podium, right? But I really am excited today to bring this message to you. And the message is titled, What's in a Name? And I'll have several scripture references throughout the sermon. So those of you who are taking notes, you'll be able to write those scriptures down. You know, I never really gave much thought to the meaning of names before. Now, however, since I've really been digging deep into the Bible, I've come to understand that names have meanings. Names are significant. Names are important. It is especially good for us to know that as we dig into our Bibles, some of the names have more meaning than others. You know, my grandmother, she was operations manager for an agency called OIC. That title alone gave her great weight in the organization, but her name also carried a lot of weight within the organization as well. Her name also has great meaning. Her name is very special, and it means something to me. Her name, Glenora, means thanks. The G in Glenora is for the glitter, the spark that she carried. Her name has meaning. Your name has meaning. Just like my grandmother's name, my son's name is Derek, and that name is special to me. His name means people's ruler. He is an encourager of people, a great motivator. That's what his name means. So names really have meaning. But this is nothing new, for in the Bible, there are many examples of when a name is given that name carried great meaning attached to it. In biblical times, a name was more than just a personal means of identification. Name conveyed authority. The names showed character. The names issued promise. They displayed a certain fate or destiny. Names carried great meaning. Remember Naomi? When she lost her husband and her son, she said, "Call me Mara. Mara, because Almighty has made my life bitter." How many of you remember Daniel? Daniel's name means God is my judge. So when he stood before the great king Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't worried about Nebuchadnezzar's judgment because his name already signified who was his judge. So he was more concerned about God's judgment than he was about the king's judgment. But there is a name that is above all names. Okay, I'm glad you asked. You see, God's name encompasses his whole identity. It expresses his power and his omnipresence. God's name expresses who he is. His name encompasses his identity, and his name defines his relationship to his people. Remember David, if you will, in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, when he had to confront the giant Goliath, he replied, "Upon the authority of God's name to defeat his Philistine foe." David said, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled." David knew and understood that there is authority attached to God's name. Remember the psalmist Asaph, who asked God for deliverance? If you look in the book of Psalms, the 79th chapter of Psalms, he said, for the glory of God's name and for God, his name's sake. He knew that there is power in God's name. Asaph appealed to God's concern for his name among the nations. Solomon, in his infinite wisdom, wrote in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, around the 10th verse, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Solomon was referring to the protection that God's name provides us who believe in him. He knew and understood that protection could be found in God's name. Last week, we just discovered that God's name is significant in establishing his identity as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Right from the beginning, we established that we are calling on our Heavenly Father in heaven. We are calling on our Father who is in heaven. Our Father in heaven establishes right from the beginning that we are calling on a holy and almighty God who is greater and higher than his creation. Yet, he is our God and who is very approachable. This by itself reveals an important aspect of God's character. He is a loving God. Somebody say loving God. And he wants to enter into a personal relationship with his creation. By saying our Father, we are establishing identity, both his and ours. We are calling on the name that is higher than any other name. We are identifying ourselves as his children. His name, therefore, is stamped on us. Therefore, we can approach him with confidence, knowing that he cares for us. God goes by many different names in the Bible. One commentator has counted over 365 names found in Scripture. That seems like a lot, right? But God, who is so awesome that the number of names used to describe him is endless as he is. God gives us his name so that we can know how he is different from any other. His name is good. Psalms 52:9 says, I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. Somebody say, God's name is good. Never forget that God is good. Even when bad things happen, God is still good. His name is great. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 25 and 26 says, do as you promised so that your name will be great forever. There is no greater name than the name of God. His name is majestic. Psalms 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This means that his name, which stands for all that he is excellent in the earth. There is no one else like him. There is no one else like our God. He is omnipotent. He is incomparable. Exodus 15:11 says, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? His name is glorious. Psalms 115:1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. The word glory encompasses all his attributes. The word literally means heavy, a weight. So when you hear them talk about the weight of God's glory, we know that's encompassing all of who he is. The weight of his glory and awesome wonder. Sometimes we try to make a name for ourselves as we crave credit for what we've done. But we need to remember that it is his name and his name alone that deserves the glory. I remember a story that I once heard that I'm going to share with you. It says, once there was a lion. Somebody say a lion. Well, this particular lion, he was walking around the jungle. He was very proud of his mastery of the animal kingdom. So one day he decided to make sure that all the animals in the kingdom knew that he was the king of the jungle. He was so confident that he was the ruler, he bypassed the smaller animals and he went straight to the bear. He looked at the bear. He said, who is the king of the jungle? The lion roared. The bear replied, why, you are, of course. The lion gave out a mighty roar of approval. Then he went to the tiger and he asked, who is the king of the jungle? The tiger quickly responded, why, you are, O mighty lion. The lion let out another roar of approval and he went to the next. He got to the elephant and the lion faced the elephant and he addressed him with the question, who is the king of the jungle? The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk. He whirled him around in the air about 5 or 6 times. He slammed him up against a tree. Then he pounded him on the ground several times and he dunked him in some water and he dumped him out on the ground. The lion was all beaten and bruised and battered and struggled to get to his feet. He looked at the elephant through his sad and bloody eyes and he said, look, just because you didn't know the answer didn't mean that you have to be nasty about it. How many times have we encountered that kind of self-delusion? Sometimes people spread their wings of proudness as a peacock when in reality they are like the lion, self-delusion. So it is good to be humble. Somebody say humble. Jesus, the one who God highly exalts and to whom God gives the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is this Jesus with all power, whom did not let it go to his head, who humbled himself even to the point of death. It is his example that we should follow. It's okay to be humble. Somebody say, it's okay to be humble. His name is holy. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them to begin like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name must be set apart because he is holy. His name is near. God is high and holy, and yet amazingly, he is close. He is both transcendent and he is imminent. All allow this truth to just penetrate your heart for a minute. He is not distant because he has come close to each of us so that we can get to know him. Psalm 75:1 says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. God is powerful, yet he is very personal. As we recognize his name, we can't help but to respond to him. We respond with our praise. We praise his name. The number one reaction to recognizing his name is to break out into a praise. As we focus on him, we can give him what he deserves, and that is our praise. See, each one of us praise God differently. So I'm not telling you how to praise God, but when you recognize the significance of his name, we respond with our praise. Daniel 2:20 says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing praises to his name, the Lord Most High. One of the clearest expressions of praise people can give is found in Psalms 113:1-3. It says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forever. For the rising of the sun, the place where it is set, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And there's another passage of scripture, the book of Psalms 150. It says, praise the Lord. No, literally, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, there you go. I just want to make sure your neighbor woke. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with a sound and a trumpet. Praise him with a lute and a harp. Praise him with a timbre and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flute. Praise him with a loud clashing cymbal. Praise him with a loud cymbal. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. See, as we recognize his name, we honor his name. God's name is so weighty that we must do all we can to honor him. I recall in Revelation 4:10-11, that describes a scene in heaven. The 24 elders, they fall down before him who sits on the throne. They lay their crowns down before the throne and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, of all honor, glory, and power, for you created all things, and by your will all things were created. See, the word glory and honor are closely related and often used interchangeably in the Bible, but there is a difference between them. The word glory means something that has inherent intrinsic worth, while the word honor means value, to render or to esteem glorious. See, glorious is a quality inherent in the one being glorified. Glory can be thought of as a mirror that accurately reflects what is there. When we accurately reflect the character of God, we glorify Him. Let me slow down and say that again. When we accurately reflect the character of God, we glorify Him. See, to glorify God is to honor Him for who He is. To glorify God is to honor Him for who He really is. God has glory because He is infinitely valuable. When we glorify God, we honor His name, not our own. See, honor originates in the heart and refers to the value that we place on God. Let me say that again. Honor originates in the heart and refers to the value that we place on God. When we honor God, we are demonstrating the high regard that we have for Him. We are reflecting His glory back as we praise Him and we worship Him. We are reflecting His glory back to Him as we praise Him and as we worship Him. We are reflecting His glory back to Him as we praise Him and as we worship Him. The Bible shows many ways to honor and to glorify God. We show Him high regard and reflect His character by living lives devoted to Him, according to Romans 14 and 8. It is not enough to merely honor God outwardly. God desires honor to come from our hearts. The Lord says, "The people come near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It says that in the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verse 13. When we delight in the Lord, according to Psalms 37 and 4, we seek Him in everything we do. We want to give honor to Him and to make choices that reflect the place He has in our hearts. We bring Him to great honor as we recognize His name. We respond accordingly. When we do, these are some of the things that we can expect. Say, these are some of the things that I can expect. I'm glad you already know. You can expect that our hope will grow. Our joy will increase. Our worship will deepen. We will be fully satisfied with and in Him. We will experience His power. There is power in the name of God, and He wants to unleash it in our lives. According to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verse 6, it says, "No one is like You, O Lord. You are great, and Your name is mighty in power." See, He loves to show Himself strong when we are weak. And He loves to demonstrate His power by accomplishing that which we think is impossible. See, David understood this truth when he came before the great problem, that great big giant named Goliath. See, we become wiser. All of us can stand to grow in wisdom. One of the byproducts of knowing the name of God is to increase in wisdom. See, Micah, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, it says, "To fear Your name is wisdom." We will receive help. We will be protected. When we find ourselves in trouble, we can claim the promises in Psalms 91, verses 14 and 15, "Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name." God wants us to acknowledge His name. When we call upon Him, He will deliver us in trouble. "I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him." One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 18 and 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." So I know that when I find myself in a situation and my back is up against the wall, I can run to God and I can feel safe. See, God's name is like a fort of protection. Run to Him and be safe. So what is it? What is it in the name? When it comes to God, it's everything. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.